5 minutes after the hour on Imagine Radio. It's the Mac Addict Hour. I'm John Adams.
I'm Cheryl England.
And it's a fabulous day in the cyber neighborhood.
Only in the cyber neighborhood. The real neighborhood
is
raining
and
everybody's
cold.
Sick. And I guess that pre-Christmas too much stuff to do.
Too loud for you there, Nikki? Wait, what's that, Nikki?
Hello?
Oh. Scotty, more power to the transmitters.
I can talk louder, Nikki.
Cheryl screech just hurt my ears. I'm sorry.
It's a little sensitive this morning, huh?
Oh, God, I don't know why. Some days her screech affects me more than others.
I think Nikki's hungover. That's what it is.
Well, we are, we're going to actually do for the, today, we're going to have like a little roundtable discussion here about violence in games.
We are indeed.
Which is I'm very interested in the topic, so.
Interested in it?
Do you have an opinion on it? Well, I like having the whole like intellectual kind of exercise debate thing about it because it, Rob's warming up the microphone. He's...
Rob's ready to go. Rob's put a lot of thought into this, actually. Rob is probably the only one that will have some actually intellectual comments.
Oh, God.
Do you need more coffee, Rob?
I don't know if intellectual and me are going to go
He needs more today. Brain cells, I think.
Oh, is that it? We, so Rob Capps and... Excuse me. Hey! Somebody's calling. Let's see who's on the phone here. Welcome to the Mac Addict Hour. Hello?
Yes.
Hello, welcome to the Mac Addict Hour. You're on the air.
Oh, I think that's my dad.
Hello.
Yeah.
Dad?
Yeah.
What are you doing calling me back?
I wonder what the hell that was.
Hello, sir. Who's this?
Yeah, you're
what's that? Recording or something?
Yeah, you're on our radio show.
Who is this?
This is the Martians.
The Martians are calling. You never know what's going to happen in cyberspace. So are you invading the Earth, sir?
We will be shortly. Pack your bags.
How do you feel about violence in video games?
I don't know.
I guess the Martians are going to contribute to this debate.
So you're actually not a Martian, but you're being tested right now? Are you being probed by the Martians?
You don't know, do you?
Well, sir, we appreciate you calling us.
I'll call you back later, okay?
All right.
Thanks.
Bye, Dad.
The Mac Addict Hour continues in 60 seconds.
Hey, John, what's the secret to your success?
Simple. In today's world, opportunity doesn't knock. It rings. Hello, Betty? I got the deal? Fantastic. See you later.
Wow, you're not kidding.
Oh, no.
But if you leave your phone on all the time, won't the batteries wear down?
Not with Duracell extended rechargeable batteries. You see, Duracell gives me up to 50% more talk time than your ordinary nickel-cadmium batteries. Huh. And they're made especially for wireless phones. Plus, there's no memory effect, so I can top off the charge anytime.
So you can leave your phone on all day...
And recharge at night. Oh. That's why I never miss a call. Hey, where are you going?
I'm
going
to go get a Duracell rechargeable battery. Call you later.
No, I'll call you.
And now, Cellular One is featuring Duracell cellular batteries at their many Bay Area retail locations. Stop by Cellular One during the month of October and register for a chance to win $500 when you leave your cellular phone on standby. For details, visit any participating Cellular One store or call 1-800-CELL-1. Cellular One, the PCS that works, now works longer.
Ten past the top of the hour on the Mac Addict Hour. John Adams and Cheryl England and Rob Capps and Nikki Eckler and, of course, Nikki's dad.
Well, Nikki's dad's not here anymore.
No.
He's gone. He's very confused, though, now.
He's like, my daughter's been captured by a cult. He's calling the cops now.
They pay you for that?
And you know the really scary thing is he owns Apple stock.
And he paid for her college education.
That
oh, money flushed down the toilet.
Hey. I got every penny's worth out of that education, and A, I paid for half of it myself, so there.
Okay. Do you have college loans?
Oh, yes, I do.
Paying back to Big Uncle Sam?
Oh, yes, I do. And it's amazing because I pay a huge chunk of money every month, and yet the bill does not decrease at all.
No.
Not at all.
Uncle Sam, the loan shark.
That's I should warn you about him when you sign up for those things.
Because he's not really Uncle Sam, it's Uncle Sammy.
Yo, I'm Uncle Sammy. Hey, I'll pay for your college, no problem. You owe me, hey, give me a little more money here for the rest of your life.
Okay, violence and games. That's what we're talking about.
What about stereotypes in radio?
No, there's no such thing. Our discussion here is for the next few minutes is going to be about violence in games. I guess, and the question is good or bad, too much or too little. Does anyone want to throw out a first kind of thing? Rob,
okay.
You seem to have been brought in on the whole violence thing.
That's just because I'm really violent by nature. And,
I'm glad I'm sitting on the other side of the table.
You brought a gun to work today.
Yeah, you want to talk about violence in the office place?
But was it like a grenade launcher or a...
It's the basic shotgun, right?
Basic shotgun?
It's an SKS, assault rifle, precursor to the AK-47.
Mm.
I'm going to go take out the boot lab. And
semi-automatic or...
And maybe just boot.
Fully automatic. It'll be glad. It'll be good to hear what they think about that. Okay, violence and is are games gratuitously violent? Are they violent for violence sake?
Yes.
And has it gone too far?
I personally don't have a big problem with violence in games. It's sort of getting to a ridiculous proportions now where it's really desensitizing. It's really sort of boring to play a game like Postal where it's not even used in a creative way. It's just violent.
We had the shooting in what state was it? It was in the South where the boy went into the school. What state was it? It just happened last week. Illinois. So anyway, it doesn't matter. Kid goes into a high school and goes postal and kills a bunch of his friends. And
doesn't even feel particularly guilty about it from what I understand.
Yeah.
Well, come on, you remember high school.
But kids have been doing that for years. I mean, that's not really anything new. I remember my dad telling me. My dad.
Where did you
me,
go to school?
No, honestly,
I know, that was so 87. Kent, where's this guy? I mean, can't people get more creative?
I know.
Long before there were computers, long before there were violent video games, way back in God knows when, 50s, when my dad was in high school, some kid came on and shot his girlfriend on the school bus.
Are you kidding me?
I'm not kidding.
Let's call him up here. What what was all day?
I think redial should be.
My poor dad.
So then, you know, that always...
I'm not going to get a Christmas present this year if you keep this.
That gets me to the point then, is it more, it's not necessarily the games, it's that the media now is at a point where they find out about these things, they blow them up into a big deal, and we hear about it. What you're saying is it's always been happening, but we just didn't hear about it like we hear about it now because of headline news, because of CNN, because of USA Today, because of the Internet.
Yeah, I'm not. There might be more cases of it because I think society is getting more and more violent. But I don't know if that would be attributed to video games. I think that's just a whole part of the society changing and becoming.
Well, and not only that too, but you know, I mean, there have always been forms of violence for people to see. I mean, cowboy and Indian movies when my parents were growing up. I mean, those were fairly violent. People were getting shot with arrows left and right and falling off the horses, and, you know, the kids are sitting back going, yeah, go cowboys. I mean, you know, those were fairly violent, too.
And in taking in perspective, one could say that those were just as violent as Postal is today because kids are exposed to violence earlier, become jaded, understand that it's maybe just fiction. You know, back when Cowboys and Indians and the Long Rangers, there wasn't the postal game. They weren't exposed to it. So the impact of the violence was proportionally the same. You see what I'm saying?
Sort of, kind of.
In some ways, I think the Cowboys and Indians is somewhat more atrocious in many different ways, just more for the social context than the actual violence.
But that's just one example. There's also like Tom and Jerry and
Roadrunner.
Roadrunner and all those.
But things like that.
What about Itchy and Scratchy?
I think in terms of like if you're going to be talking about influences on kids that are playing these games, I worry more about the social contexts of not having things like female characters of really like continually pushing the sort of like American European like imperialism type.
But what about female
message.
Characters like Laura Croft? What kind of a
you
know, idol? What kind of message is that? Okay, she's a sex symbol. Boy geeks love her because she's got big boobs and a great butt, and she walks around and blows shit up, and they think that's cool. There are women that seem to look up to her. I don't know. Do you look up to Laura Croft, Nikki?
Who?
Okay. Cheryl?
I don't look up to her, but I am glad to see a strong female character. And, you know, yeah.
Subtly.
Well, come on. No,
strong female character.
No, but she is. She's powerful. She's strong, you know, and you're right. She's the heroine of the thing. And, you know, well, okay, fine. If she has to have big boobs so that people pay attention to her, you know, well, okay, fine. I mean, it's the whole Barbie doll concept.
But
too.
Barbie's getting a breast reduction and her legs shortened.
Yeah, she is. I'm not sure I totally agree with that. But, you know, that's just, yeah. I don't like change.
You've been staring at a computer. You're not in touch with what's going on, Rob.
My Barbie collection's ending now. No more picking those up.
Okay, more about the women. What about, so the difference between blowing up people in Postal, let's say. Are you blowing up humans or are you blowing up monsters?
You're killing actual people. I mean, it's sort of like, you know, cartoonish. It's not, I mean, I can't imagine that somebody, that it's something that inspires kids to, like, go out and play the game and then be like, oh, this was a fun game to play. I'm going to pick up a gun and run around my town and kill people. But if you're playing a game where, like, Duke Nukem, and he's, like, saying, like, really sexist things, I can very much easily see a kid going out and repeating those things to other girls on the playground, which can be, you know, which is just more fuel to intimidation. You know, at that young age.
That's actually true, and I'd agree with Rob on that. It's like the verbalness of the game sometimes is something that the kids will pick up on more than the actual picking up a gun and killing somebody. But, you know, words certainly are not, you're not going to kill somebody with words, but you can say some pretty powerful and very wrong things if you use the wrong words.
Interesting.
Yeah, I mean, I guess what to do about it is a totally different question, because I would never support
censorship.
Limiting somebody's ability to, like, make that. And that would, in some ways, if you tried, it would
creative.
Make it more valuable.
Well, what about the whole rating system? Does that work at all? Or doesn't, I mean, wouldn't you just go for, if I were a game developer, I'd go for a mature rating because that would probably sell more units.
My sort of instinctual reaction is, there's a rating system?
I mean, you know, it's not, yeah, what is it like, you know, a half an inch square on the bottom of the box and there's a bazillion other things going on in the box, you never see it. I don't think people pay any attention to the rating system.
I can't even say I'd be in favor of that. I would just think that you could actually make a much better game if you worked on it and didn't resort to those sort of cheap shots. And that's what I'd encourage.
But what sells?
Duke
Nukem sells.
What sells is what's pushed everywhere. I mean, if you're saying that Maxoft, or I guess they didn't make it, but they just ported it. But if you're saying that a game company cannot make an intriguing game without that stuff, or can't make a game that'll outsell those games, then you haven't looked at Myth and Riven, and I don't think that's really realistic. I think that's kind of a cop out.
But aren't they? Those are anomalies. Those aren't the standard. The standard, you want to make money in a game, the easy way to do it is just to make a violent game. There are a lot more profitable violent games than Rivens or Myths.
Yeah, if you're a money grubbing greedhead and you just want to sit on your butt and, like, do the cheapest, easiest thing to make you more money, yeah, you can just crank out sex and violence and make money.
And what's the reality of the world today? Yeah, the people who are running these companies are that way. I mean, tell me, these companies are not 501c3 nonprofit organizations that want to go heal the world.
Yeah, but I'm not going to start feeling that way. I'm not going to start trying to defend them or justify them or feel good about them because there's some larger reality of the world that they make a lot of money, and so therefore society deems them successful.
And I don't think that there is necessarily, I don't think that because you're a corporation and you're designed to make money, that excludes the fact that you want some pride in your product and you want it to actually have a good plot, good graphics, not necessarily just be gratuitous killing of other people.
So should the heads of these companies be ashamed of their products?
I don't know.
Not for the best products. You know, Bungie, you know, you could say that their products are violent. However, there's a lot of strategy involved. There's, you know, it's a lot of imagination. There's a lot of creativity in those games. I don't think they should be embarrassed about their products at all. Some people are producing crap, and they should be embarrassed about those. Just like, you know, people produce crap books. You know, they just crank out the sex novels or, the war novels or whatever, and they suck. And those people should be embarrassed about their work.
Now, as three, Nikki's been very quiet through all this, as three people who have, you know, editorial power and write about the Mac end of this industry, do those opinions make it onto the pages?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, they affect, if a product sucks, I mean, it's going to affect the rating. And regardless of the violence, like what Cheryl was saying, a bad game is a bad game, and it's going to get a bad review. I mean, you know.
Because, Rob, it's obvious you're pretty passionate about the issues that have come up regarding the language and things like that. Do those make it? Would you write that about Duke Nukem?
Oh, I would never write a review of Duke Nukem that didn't include a comment about its sexist content. I don't know I'd necessarily trash the game for that purpose alone. You know, I'd go on the merits of the game. But it would certainly, you know, be in there. And yeah, I think if you look at our review of Duke Nukem, it is in there. I mean, that was before my time, but it is there.
And there are other games that we won't review because we don't think that they are good games for our audience on a variety of levels. They're trashy. They're poorly done. And, frankly, we just won't review them because we don't want to give them any more publicity than is necessary.
And, plus, our readers actually have an opinion on this, too. When we do things that are questionable in taste, they call us on it right away. So we have to watch for that, too. I mean, the stuff we run, if we were to like review all of these, like, you know, porno games, we lose a lot of readers. They don't like.
We lose like 80% though. Oh, maybe we get a different 80% though. But
so even if you review something, they call you on it. Even if you review it, so even by it making it into the pages of your magazine, they assume that you're giving a little bit of a blessing.
No. They don't necessarily call us on that we have reviewed a product that maybe they don't think is appropriate. I think what Nikki is saying is more of if we phrase things poorly, if some of the same language that you see in the game starts creeping into the pages of the magazine, if we were to pick the wrong screenshot, you know, say we were to pick the absolute most violent screenshot to display the game, or, you know, the absolute most sexist screenshot, people would not be happy with that.
And like once we, I think there was a review on one of our Macs that we reviewed a Mac, and Kathy called like the match that it had these legs that she thought were so sexy. So we said it had sexy legs, and we got so many letters telling us that we were being sexist.
The
computer.
The base of the Mac.
Yeah, had sexy legs, and we used the word sexy. Mm-hmm. And it was Kathy had thought of it, but all of our readers wrote us thinking that some man had wrote that and called the machine sexy and said we were being extremely sexist. And they had, you know, they had no idea that it was actually Kathy who thought of it, but they were quick to, like, to point out that, you know, on such a simple little word like that, we got so many letters. So, you know, we really have to watch what we say, too.
And, like you said, watch what we say. What do you think of what we've had to say? You can send us an email here, macaddict@imagineradio.com, and let us know what you think about violence in games, sexism in games, and the like. We've got Tech Talk coming up with David Reynolds. It's 24 minutes after the hour, the Mac Addict Hour on Imagine Talk.
I'm going back to a place I was yesterday. Met a dark eyed guy, his name is Jay. I'm going back, back to original Coors. Only last night the light hit him right. And original Coors in the yellow can, a last real beer. I'm thirsty for a beer a couple hours away. Sure hope that man wants me to stay and play. I'm going back from Coors Brewing Company, don't you know? Out there in Golden, Colorado.
Awarded American Premium Lager Gold Medal, 96th Great American Beer Festival. Taste the one that won for taste.
Brought to you by Original Coors in the yellow can. Taste the one that won for taste.
I'm getting pretty hot up here. Could one of you guys cool me down with an Original Coors?
Welcome back to the Mac Addict Hour. I'm Cheryl England.
I'm John Adams.
And we've got Tech Talk with David Reynolds and Rob Katz.
Arr,
yeah,
These are two guys. They're going to answer all the hardcore questions. You might even get a joke or two.
I find offense to that.
It's sexist, you know.
And we don't even have sexy legs.
Well, that's for sure.
Speak for yourself.
Rob, you still have a little furrow in your brow there.
Hey, you can't just shift gears.
Oh, okay. Are you still puzzling over sexism and Duke Nukem?
Oh, I guess not.
Get over it. It's just a game.
I'm wanting to play now.
You know what we need? We need our engineer Kevin to come up with some we need to get some game noises from those games, and we can some gunshots and some stuff like that. That would be something that would be good for us in the future.
What's that? I'm here to kick ass and chew gum, and I'm all out of gum.
Oh, got me. Tech Talk letters can be sent to MacAddict@ImagineRadio.com. And if you'd like to get on the air, include your phone number, let us know. We'll call you up and humiliate your stupid questions to you live in real time.
Yeah, that's a real perk. I'm sure people are going to love to call in for that very reason. Looking forward to that.
What's the first one, David?
Well, we've got the first one is from JT, God knows what that signature actually says.
JT 8 Smile?
Yeah.
J Tate.
Oh, wait, that's a...
Oh, it's a smiley face with glasses.
Okay, so it's JT.
So he's a four-eyed.
Yeah.
Which I can say, you can say, we are both four-eyed.
But what's that tilde, JT?
I don't know what that is.
Maybe he's S7's cousin.
He's S7's cousin. Could very well be.
Oh, got his brother. Okay, Rob, you want to read this one?
Why don't you take this one on?
Yeah, okay. Throughout the issue of your magazine, you guys have mentioned a time...
Sexism again?
Yes. But you're a bunch of sexist.
Magazine.
Yeah. throughout each issue of your magazine, you have mentioned time and time again the problems with Netscape. I basically don't see what you are complaining about. I have Netscape 3.0.
This is... No. JT stands for something... This is like Mark Andreessen's pseudonym. It's like he's putting this in.
Netscape is a fine product.
I never have any problems.
I got this email all day, the publication. Netscape is really good.
They'll never know it's me.
I have Netscape 3.0 running on a Performa 578 under Mac OS 8, and I have 36 megabytes of RAM installed. And Navigator only uses about 10 megabytes, as opposed to what some people say, that you really need to devote 24 megabytes to get it to run properly. And the top 10 and 11 errors have never happened to me, and I have no idea why you guys say it is so buggy. I mean, in issue number 2, you guys mentioned that newer technology gave you guys a buttload of RAM, and I want to point out that buttload is a standard here at Mac Addict. It stands for 16 megabytes of RAM. If you're in Europe, it's actually 20 megabytes. So why is it that you can't get Netscape to function? I can understand your use of Internet Explorer for the purpose of seeing your website in another browser, but using it as your main surfing browser only gives Gates more money. And that's ignoring the fact that Explorer is actually a free product. I mean, Netscape leads the browser market so far, and Microsoft is getting into trouble with the Justice Department, so why not use Netscape? Well, I guess you guys have your reasons.
P.S., I've only turned my computer on once in the last 24 months.
You know, I think actually, JT, it's come to the point where anything you do is giving Gates more money. Much trapped. And breathing every day gives Gates more money.
Gates and Disney.
Did you breathe today?
If you die, maybe you can cut off some of your flow of income to his pockets. But
so
is
JT lucky or what?
I think JT's pretty damn lucky. Yeah.
Okay.
If he's using Netscape 3 and not crashing.
Do you have any? Can you use this opportunity here to give us any tips and tricks if we're having a lot of problems with Netscape?
Actually, upgrade to Netscape Navigator 4. It is worlds apart as far as stability goes. It really is a far better browser, and it frankly does about as good a job as Internet Explorer 4.
And what about realistic system resources that I need to happily surf the web?
You gotta have at least 8 megs of memory free for Navigator.
You know, one thing I really like to tell people is just buy RAM. I mean, it is so valuable to your computer. Just it's worth it. Just go spend the money, crank that thing full of RAM. It will help you in everything you do.
How does it help?
It helps all kinds of ways. Everything uses RAM, so, you know, the more that's available, the more elbow room there is, and the less opportunity there is for crashes. If somebody stomps on somebody else's memory, it's just less likely to cause problems.
And I have no configuration problems. I just buy RAM, slap it in, and I'm good to go.
That will be the lawsuit. there are three different kinds.
Because I'm always looking to get sued the Mac Addict Hour. Speaking of getting sued, I'm going to get in trouble for being late. It's time for the news. 30 minutes past. Here's AP Network News. Thirty-two minutes after the hour. Thanks for sticking around the Mac Addict Hour on Imagine Talk. I'm John Adams with a buttload of RAM.
That's right.
That didn't come out the way I did.
That sounds very uncomfortable, John.
Should see somebody about that idea.
You should really, if you really want to increase your system performance, you should put it in your computer.
And use maybe
I think you might have taken my comment a little too literal.
A little Metamucil instead, right?
There you go.
Okay. We got another letter?
Yeah.
I think. Okay, here's the letter. This one comes from Bill. All right, here's the deal. I turn on my computer and start going through my email. I'm listening to Dennis Leary on my CD player. Then I hear a voice coming from within my speakers. I turn off the CD and put everything on max volume. Sure enough,
you
I hear some woman talking.
Buy a package of please upgrade me.
I think that RAM's getting to you. It was really low, though, and I couldn't make out what she said. Then it went away. This has now happened a couple times. I'm not on acid, so what the hell is it?
Microsoft.
Darman.
Quit giving Bill Gates money.
Yeah. So we have two words for you, paranoid schizophrenia.
and a low buttload around. Next letter.
Yeah. We have no idea. This could be, one of your problems might be just listening to Dennis Leary on your CD player. It really could be a leak of radio signal. Maybe somebody has a CB or a shortwave radio
actually,
near house, and that can happen.
You totally had that experience,
didn't
you?
Oh, yeah, I was going to say. Remember when all the construction work was going on across the street, and all of a sudden my Mac would start talking to me? And the first time it happened, and I'm sitting there going, my Mac is talking to me, my Mac is talking to me, and you guys are all going, But you could hear the construction workers talking to each other.
Okay, so maybe it isn't Dennis Lee. The joke that wouldn't die.
Which one we wish it was.
Ooh, we got a color email.
Yeah, we do. Actually, and can you see this? This is really nice.
Let me see.
Kidding, actually.
What the hell is
it's a black Macintosh. It's a prototype Radius clone. It's one of the original first Macintosh clones back when Macs were cloned.
Mm-hmm.
No offense to you, Macs. This is from Nathan. Dear Mac Addict, in your November 97 issue, in the secrets section, you said you wanted to know if there are any other black Macs in existence. Well, guess what? I found one. Here's a picture. It's not exactly black, and it is a prototype, but it still counts. It is kind of this gray, but it's kind of cool. I also have a question you have to answer. Here goes. About a month after we got our computer, a Performa 6116 CD, the hard drive decided to take a permanent leave of absence. We now have a Quantum Lightning S730S version 24A4. My question is, how do I update it? Since it is not factory equipment, can I use the Disk Tools update feature, or do I have to go to Quantum's website and download the update software? Any help would be great.
I know what he needs.
Yeah. And
a buttload of RAM!
There you go!
I could just see all these very uncomfortable Mac fanatics walking around.
Okay. What's he really
That's
need?
Quite an image.
Oh, the 24A4, okay.
Yeah, well, what he needs to do is depending on what software he used to initialize the hard drive, he just needs to get the latest copy of that, and that should have the proper drivers with it. If he used the standard Apple utility, then he can just use that, download it from Apple's site. If you use something specific from Quantum, then he'll need to get that from their site. So basically, whatever you used before, get the newest version of that. There's a couple more questions here, and one of them I just have to get to. How are we doing?
Fine, yeah, go ahead.
In the game section of the
August... You've got a buttload of time.
A buttload. 16 minutes. 16 whole minutes. In the game section of the August 97 issue, there was a teaser about the game Racing Days. I don't suppose you could get a demo of that and put it on the disc, or could you? Or maybe you guys could give away a couple of copies. That would be very cool. I guess this really isn't a question, but do you know of a demo for Racing Days, Rob? Have you heard of Racing Days?
Yeah, I have a gold master, I think, of Racing Days.
It's one of those.
I'm not sure I've seen the final.
Yeah, it may not have come out yet. It's kind of like Carmageddon, just sort of almost there.
Lingers in software limbo. But yeah, that would be cool.
Yeah.
I'll answer that.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
And
we agree.
That's right. And Nathan's last question is a personal favorite. It's not exactly a technical question, but he says, in closing, I have one final very important but simple question. How many spaces go after a period? My mom, who took a secretary's course, says it's one, and so do I. But everyone else says it's two. Who is right?
It's a buttload.
It is. Well, it's actually like an eighth of a buttload or something.
I remember it being two.
It actually depends on whether you're using a monospaced font or not. Like the old typewriters used the monospaced font, and you put two spaces afterward to make the sentence readable. But if you're doing typesetting, like on a Mac, then it's one space after a period. And my girlfriend and I go round and round and round about this. But
there's actually a really good book called The Mac is Not a Typewriter.
Yeah.
And I don't know who it's by or where you can get it.
It's by Robin Williams. Peach Pit Press.
There you go. And that tells you all sorts of little, like, information, like, you know, only one space after a period, how to make, like, copyright signs.
Why don't we get the author for an interview and give away a couple copies of the book?
She'd actually be pretty good,
yeah,
I think.
Let's work on that one.
Okay.
Great. So this was a very good letter segment.
Yes, it was.
Tech Talk, whatever the hell it is. We'll be back after a buttload of commercials. Or maybe just one. The Mac Addict Hour.
What? Barry Sanders has no offensive line.
Hey, Emmett has two rings and Sanders has none.
Rings.
The impassioned speeches of two students ring in the ears of Dean Chris Berman, coach of the Bristol University debate team. One of Dean Berman's rising stars is Jack Hill, a gangly first-year student from Dallas.
Jack was heavily recruited, but eventually he chose Bristol on the strength of my NFL Countdown-based program.
I love to debate football, and Dean Berman assured me that watching NFL Countdown was an integral part of the debate team's training program.
Now, when we first met, I told Jack I thought the Niners could go all the way, just to test them.
I totally disagreed. I said Mariucci is untested, and that realistically, Rice has no chance of making it back this season. Then, and this is the weird part, he agreed with me. That's when I knew I wanted to learn from the master.
The Bristol University School of Football. To know is to understand.
NFL Countdown, your source for the best pregame analysis and news. Audit a class Sundays, 8:30 on ESPN.
Minutes at the top of the hour. Hi, Cheryl.
Hi, John. How
Welcome
are you?
Welcome back.
You too.
We missed you. Did you have a nice potty break?
I was here.
Oh.
I was here.
I couldn't hear you.
I said a few things.
Yeah.
Come on.
Okay.
I answered the interference question.
Yes.
I hear voices on my Mac question. Sorry.
You know, I don't know of any construction that's been going on around here.
Not for a while. That was earlier, before it started raining. That's before you got here. It was like when all the dust would cover the cars.
I remember that. Okay. Nikki?
I have a question for you, John. I know you're dying for me to ask you.
No, I'm probably not.
You are.
Really,
I know
you are. I'm really dreading this.
I know you are. What is up your ass today?
A buttload of RAM.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Thanks, Nikki.
You're welcome.
Poor Rob. He just hates being involved in car crashes like this. It's time for letters. If you want to send a letter to Miss Nikki, the email address is macaddict@imagineradio.com.
Can they hear me like going through them all? I'm trying to figure out which one I want to have.
It's a very nice sound effect. I will go ahead and fill for you while you get your shit together.
I've got it. I just don't know who I'm going to make
How
perform
many
first.
That's
a buttload of letters you got there. So macaddict@imagineradio.com, and Nikki will take your letter and actually make Rob act it out.
Today we're having a poetry reading.
Oh, yay.
Can we dim the lights?
Sure. Poetry on the Mac Addict Hour with Rob.
Well, I was thinking everyone could maybe read one out because we get so many letters and songs, and I thought maybe we could interpret them today for people who turn them in.
We have got to, you know what, Cheryl?
What?
We've got to start having pre-show meetings.
Why?
We can't let her broadside us like this.
Yes, we can.
Songs, letters, it's beautiful. It's art. Here, I have a lovely one for you, Rob. It's called Visions.
Oh, this was a good one.
This is a good one. It's by Rich Coffee, and he actually gave me permission to have it read aloud. Oh, not that I need it, but you know, I emailed him and said, hey, we're going to read your letter, and he was cool with that. So here you go, Rob.
Here, Cheryl, can you reach well? You may not be able to reach.
No, I can't reach it, John.
We'll get a little spotlight.
Whoa, all right.
Talk about the stunt guy. There.
Now this is a party.
Spotlight on Rob. There we go. Okay, we got a light burned out. I got it, Kevin.
You got any little light jazz?
We'll see if Kevin the engineer can dig up a little ambient background music for us here.
Yeah, I can snap our fingers when we're done.
Okay. We ready for our first?
Oh,
try to put some feeling into it, okay? Because he went to a lot of work on this.
Is this like slam poetry?
It's emotional.
I'm not sure. I don't think I've done poetry reading.
So you're asking the guy with the AK-47 in his cubicle to read
poetry.
He's got
so many facets to him, John. If you sat next to him all day, you'd see them all yourself, too. And I know he can do this, so do it justice.
Obsessed with a vision that became his religion. He helped build the machine that once reigned supreme, but the tables had turned and no one else had yet learned how to finally achieve and make everyone believe that they still built the best, read all the tests, make Wall Street confess. So in order to survive, he was brought back to revive what seemed on its last breath near financial death. Okay, you gotta get rid of that music. I apologize to Rich, but it's just not going to hold it together for very much longer. But as always the rebel, he signed a pact with the devil, a noble sacrifice for a pretty good price. Now the Mac is back, and everyone's ecstatic. As all the old bones of contention are tossed in the attic. Yet there's an unspoken fear with Big Bill looming near, we'll be suddenly faced with so little taste. Playing high-stakes poker with the Lord of Mediocre, our values polluted, our coolness diluted. We'll be drones once again, the real truth refused.
Sorry, Rich. I had no idea.
Who's finished? Okay.
You probably couldn't hear it over the music, but that's okay.
That was Rich Coffee, August 1997.
I need a Kleenex. Oh, it was beautiful.
Yes, that was lovely.
Okay, what's next?
Do we have time for another one? Do we have time for another one?
Hell yeah.
Do we have time for two more? Because I want to sing a song.
Okay, we got time for two more.
Okay, this next one's short. And I thought Cheryl might like to read it, even though she's not feeling so well today.
I'll read it.
Here you go.
Okay. What have you done to me?
It's a short one. It's very small.
Oh, okay. When I am at school, no, we don't need the sappy music for this. This is not music.
I'm sorry anybody ever said anything about music ever. I'm sorry it was invented.
You brought it up, really?
Yeah.
When I am at school, I always want to crack because it does not have my Mac. My Mac is powerful. My Mac is fun. Those PC punks better be on the run because me and my Mac are here to stay. I'm a Mac addict, that's for sure, but it's better than being a big old bore. Mac addicts are really rad. I think they're the brand new fad. When I see an IBM, I always have to frown because Bill Gates is a dirty old clown.
Woo! That was it! Yeah!
That was from Rain Man XX. Rain Man XX7.
Doesn't have a real name?
No real name, Nikki.
No real name? Oh my God! Sorry.
Let him slip through here.
Okay. One more. You got a song now? You're gonna sing for us.
Okay.
Nikki.
Does anyone know the tune to O Canada?
No.
Nope.
No. Mark, do you know the tune to O Canada?
Oh, it's right because you said
you're a
Odin.
Foreigner. Is that a no?
That's a no.
That's a no. No one knows the tune.
We need a Canadian reader.
All right, forget it. Forget that one. I'm actually gonna call up Josh Haig and have him sing it on the air
next
time.
Have him sing it on the air next time.
That'd be all right?
That's a great idea.
Okay, Josh, beware. So I'll do a substitute. It's not a song. I think there are two short ones, and I'll read this one. It's from Chaz. There was a young fellow named Bill whose wealth made most people ill. When asked how he did it, he smirked and gave credit to all the competition he helped kill.
Yeah. Yay!
It's Letters, Nikki Eckler, 46 minutes after the hour. Mac Addict at ImagineRadio.com if you want to get in on the shenanigans. We'll be back with a product review preview.
Mark here is a man who's taking precautions. He won't mountain bike, he won't roller skate, he won't ski.
I never cross streets diagonally the way some people do.
You are Mr. Careful.
That's right.
Doesn't that get in the way of your life?
I've been without health coverage for 7 years, so it just becomes kind of second nature.
Why no health coverage?
It's mostly just a cost consideration at this point.
What if you got hurt?
Everything would stop because basically my business stops.
Well, you know, Kaiser Permanente has a plan for as little as $59 a month with no deductibles and just $15 for an office visit.
And that's a flat fee.
That's it.
Kaiser Permanente Personal Advantage is affordable health care for individuals and families. Call toll-free 888-557-7716 for as little as $59 a month for preventive and emergency care, 100% hospitalization, and no deductibles. Call 888-557-7716.
And you can go through life a little more haphazardly.
You can just jaywalk.
Just run down the middle of the street.
Let's go.
Kaiser Permanente, putting your health first.
Welcome back to the Mac Addict Hour. I'm Cheryl England.
You're good at that whole enunciation thing.
I'm trying hard.
You're doing wonderful. What time is it?
Oh, it's 12 to the hour.
Great.
12 minutes before the hour. How's that?
12 minutes left.
There are 12 minutes left.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's time for web stuff, actually.
Web stuff with Mark Simmons, who is our web stuff person.
Web stuff guy.
Right. I do the web stuff. So this is sort of like a... It was originally pitched to me as, you're going to review stuff. So I was like, well, what do I know? I know websites. I know shareware. I know that sort of stuff. So that's what we're going to talk about. So given the delay between when this is being recorded and when it'll actually be broadcast, this will no longer be topical, but this week I'm just really entranced with this thing called Snow for Macintosh. It's sort of just snow falls from your menu bar and piled up at the bottom of the screen on top of folders and so on. And in another 12 months, it'll be topical again.
So we'll save this.
Is that the one with the cute little reindeer?
Yeah, and Santa rides his sleigh across the screen. It's very cute.
Actually, people will hear this before the end of December, so this will be topical.
Okay, but before Christmas?
Yes.
Wow. Another holiday decoration, then, that's actually topical all year round, the thing from Tiger Technologies. Tiger
hang on, back up. Where do we get the snow stuff?
Well, it's a really long and unwieldy URL, so I'd recommend people just go to the Mac Addict website and look it up. It was shareware pick of the week for this week.
Great.
Now.
And this week is which week?
Which week?
Oh, this is the week of, dated December 4th.
So you can go to the archive and find it?
Yeah, it's under news, and just scroll down to December 4th, and there it will be.
Wonderful.
And now, with a short, catchy, punchy URL, which we can actually say on the radio, www.tigertech.com, Tiger Technologies, have this really cool shareware utility called Holiday Lights, which, so you've probably seen this in previous years, it strings rows of bulbs around the screen, but every year they add not only more exciting bulbs, but also seasonal makeovers, so you have Valentine lights and, you know, Halloween lights, pumpkins. So it's actually, you know, the gift that keeps on giving all year round. Okay, so that's a sort of the...
That's at Tiger Tech.
Yes.
Okay.
That's a sort of holiday lookout. Another thing that's I thought was actually really cool, I don't know if you've heard this, but the new Power Macintosh G3s Apple put out, they actually have these sort of settings on the motherboard, these jumpers that you can twiddle to change the...
That's after you run your feet over the carpet.
Yes, be sure to do that, and don't touch anything metal before you start working on the motherboard. And don't
we're just joking.
Don't do that.
Right.
Don't do that.
Do the opposite of what I just said, Simon says. Okay. There are these jumpers that you can twiddle on the motherboard to change the cache speed. Speed that the cache is, the backside cache, the much vaunted
I wish, you could see Mark twiddling right now, because he is actually in the process of twiddling as if he were twiddling the motherboard, and it's quite a sight.
It's sort of a virtual visualization thing, but we've talked enough about backsides for this show. So, anyway, so you can actually get, modest but significant performance increases by twiddling this stuff. And just in the past week, this accelerator vendor, PowerLogix, www.paralogix.com, who makes a an accelerator, or rather a processor card replacement for previous Macs called the Paralogix G3, or PowerForce G3. They also put out a freebie utility for people who buy Apple's PowerMac G3 that lets you just set the stuff from a control panel. So you don't even have to open your machine, void the warranty, rip off these stickers that say do not remove, you know, like mattress tags, fiddle with jumpers and give yourself an electric shock and fuse your motherboard. You can actually just install this control panel and speed up your
twiddling,
your PowerMac G3. It's pretty cool.
Great. What was the URL again?
www.powerlogix.com.
Now, PowerLogix and Tiger Tech, are both of those on the Mac Attic website as well?
Oh, yeah. We got them linked in from someplace. So.
Okay.
So, and if we're not out of time here.
No. Go.
Okay. I will keep going. So, in the process of looking up stuff on the PowerMac G3, and, you know, and Apple's online store, which goes along with that, which, of course, is at www.apple.com/store, don't want to leave them out here in the plug fest. there is a website called DealMac, which is www.deal-mac.com. Don't forget the hyphen, which is sort of a shopping guide, comparison shopping, and so forth. They've done a review.
Can I say something quick?
Yeah,
I think, Mark, you should just talk in URLs only. I think you should not say anything but URLs.
Okay, so there's this site, and it's really good. You can go there and check it out yourself. No, but they did a sort of workup of the Apple Store and how it compares to Dell Store and other prices you can get on the G3 elsewhere, you know, from other companies and so forth, which is interesting. You should check it out if you're considering buying a Mac at, you know, this time of year, you know, getting one of the new machines. You can consider whether you want to buy from Apple or from a company like Club Mac or Siberian Outpost, which has lowball pricing. And lastly, in tandem...
But wait. What was the point of that site? I'm still back at that we're going to deal hyphen...
Weren't you listening?
Welcome,
one and all, to Short Attention Span Theater. I'm going to go over this one more time, and that's it.
You're a challenge for me.
Okay. All right. So, there's a site whose URL has now been well established, should be ingrained in your mind. And
I'm still back at Tiger Tech. No, okay. Go.
Stick with us.
I'm sorry.
Okay. All right. So we have DealMac. Uh-huh. They do like price comparisons, recommendations about where you should buy from, service analysis, so forth.
Gotcha.
And they have just done a workup on Apple's online store.
Gotcha. So DealMac is reviewing Apple's online store.
Yes, exactly.
Okay.
You know, comparing the prices and service and warranty options that you get from there versus other ways you can get one of these new machines.
Crystal clear.
So, there we go. Around the web in 5 minutes. Now your head is full of things.
Full of things. 5 minutes till the top of the hour. Thank you, Mark Simmons, for Web Stuff.
I worked in two offices, West Coast and East Coast, and I used to bring a laptop back and forth. The first one had the storage capacity of a walnut. The second one dropped off a table. The third one got stolen at the airport. At $3,000 a pop, it just wasn't working out. So I got two SciJet portable drives from SciQuest, one for each computer. It was only $300 for 3 gigs, including the drive. Now I just carry around a disk in my pocket. It only weighs a couple of ounces. And best of all, I don't spend my time in airports going, where's my bed?
The SciQuest SciJet is available at CompUSA and everywhere else you think it should be.
Deja vu. I'm John Adams.
I'm Cheryl England.
Welcome back to the Mac Addict Hour on Imagine Talk. The email address, almost said Earl. I'm spinning in Earls after Mark Simmons' segment, is macaddict@imagineradio.com.
And you can write to us there.
Yeah. Tell us what you think. Get rid of that Adams guy. Shit. Damn.
Or send Nikki some insane letters.
Nikki.
Send David and Rob some questions.
Yeah, and proposals for marriage all go to Cheryl England.
No.
It's time for a little...
I'm allergic to those.
Ooh, Rob was reaching for the mic. He was reaching.
Oh, that was until I slapped him back.
There's going to be something about Nikki for prom, but I'm stopped going.
Wait. Let's see if we can get permission from Nikki's dad.
She can go to the prom.
Oh, come on.
Oh, God.
There we are. We're back. Actually, we're talking a little bit of history here. Mac stuff.
Yeah. Did you know, John? Did you know?
I didn't. I know. I already know that I didn't.
10 years ago, 1988, Steve Jobs introduced the Next Cube.
I think that's actually pretty amazing because I do remember that happening.
I do, too. And the introduction was very cool. And he was wearing his little classic black turtleneck shirt again and had the black Next Cube. And it didn't have, you know, any floppy drives or anything, just CD-ROM drives, which everybody thought he was totally insane for. And it turned out he was. But but it was kind of cool still.
Did you ever use one?
No, I never. Well, okay, I had one in for a little bit, but there really wasn't very much software on it. And not being a programmer, I couldn't do a whole heck of a lot with it.
I had a friend who was a VAR for that product, and just, I mean, the passion, the people who got involved in that product.
They loved it.
They loved it. They were so passionate about it, and from just not having really, not being a programmer either, what a surprise to Rob Katz. you know, I never really got into the real deal with it, but the excitement from the folks I knew was just that this was just the greatest thing.
Yeah, the software, people loved the software. They loved the hardware engineering was very, very clever. And in fact, John Rubinstein, who's now the VP of Apple's hardware, was the guy who did most of the hardware design for the Next Cube.
Why
very leading edge at the time.
Why didn't it, you know, reach critical mass and support itself?
Yeah, mainly because at that point, you know, the PC was growing stronger, the Mac was growing far stronger, and this was a small machine, and there was just never the software support for it.
It seems to always come down to software, doesn't it?
Oh yeah, it does. If there's nothing that people can get their hands on and run, you can't do anything. I mean, there were some people. Freehand actually came out for the Next Cube.
Freehand.
It was one of the major drawing packages, Illustrator. Yeah, but there was actually a version of Freehand for the Next Cube. But that was one of the few, you know, major applications that made it out onto the Next Cube.
Was Freehand still Aldus then?
No, actually, Freehand at that time was Altsys.
Altsys?
Altsys. The original developers.
When did
trying not to remember dead companies' names.
When did the hardware?
Like Aldus?
When did the hardware die, and then the software company obviously kept going, and they've got their products and stuff.
I'm not sure exactly when the hardware died. It was kind of a slow phase out, but yeah, they kept the software, and as we know, the rest on that is history, because now we've got Steve Jobs back running Apple because he had the software.
And we've got a lot of pretty big websites that run on Next Web Objects and Next software. Sharper Image is one of those.
Sure, and a lot of major corporations use Web Objects, and yeah, that's actually then Apple has kept it and they're developing it.
Solid software platform.
Yeah.
Well, thank you very much.
Well, thank you, John.
Next time, maybe we'll be talking about typing and Macintoshes and.
Well, we'll definitely be talking about Macintoshes, I think.
Yeah, maybe once or twice.
A little bit.
Yeah. And for Nikki and Rob and David and Mark and Kevin, our engineer, I'm John Adams.
I'm Cheryl England.
We'll see you next time on the Mac Addict Hour. You're listening to Imagine Talk.